In today's episode, we have Simon Wong with us, and he is going to talk about how to position yourself in the digital marketing world. You will also get to hear why you should focus on presenting the very best information for your audience, the proper way to do keyword research when creating content online, and the importance of using standard operating procedures for your business. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the Online Course Igniter podcast, where you'll hear from successful course creators and how they were able to turn their passion into a thriving online business empire. Hey everyone, thanks for checking out the show today. We have Simon Wong, who is a digital marketing consulting expert with us. And that's really exciting because I know a lot of people out there struggle with marketing strategies and getting traffic to their online course. And I think it's going to be a great episode to have you on the show today. So how are you doing?
I'm great, Jeremy. Thank you for having me to the show.
Yeah, for sure. It's really exciting. I know you got some expertise in a lot of different topics that we can talk about today, and I'm really interested in diving right into those. But before we begin, let's go ahead and just hear a little bit about your backstory. What were you doing before the online business world, and then how did you get into digital marketing and online business?
All right. So basically, I started working when I was only 22. I know way later than most people. I was working in a nutrition store, retail, basically sales associate. Then I got into, believe it or not, Chinese medicine. I was actually practicing, treating people. But throughout the time, I got interested in building websites and getting people to find my business. And doing that, I started an agency in 2015, yeah. And now I do this full time.
Okay, cool. So so you had your own website for the Chinese medicine?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and oh, so you still have that business now?
Well, I turned that into more of a referral marketing business. So I sell like other nutrition product without actually holding them.
Okay, gotcha. And through that business, through that website, you just started learning all these different strategies and tactics that you could implement, and then figured you'd start helping others with those same things?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's basically how you grow. Watch YouTube and go on blogs, and then you got business.
So when you decided that you wanted to start your own agency, well, first of all, why did you want to start an agency? Why not just continue with what you were doing?
Well, let's just say I have a very short attention span. I am very great at doing things that I love to do. And so I got good at treating people. But I don't know if you've ever been to a massage therapist or a physio or a chiro. There's a lot of labor work. It's very tiring. I was 26-ish. I don't remember. And then I got really tired after I treated for like 3 years. My back was hurting, my hands, everything was too much. You know, I don't want to die early. And so doing the online stuff is basically, okay, I know the SOP. I know from the start to finish how to do everything. So I might as well just like do this full time and just sit in front of my computer. And obviously I get up, but I ask people to do my stuff and I still get paid. I mean, what's better than that? Right.
Right. So you decided I'm going to create an agency. I'm going to help others with the things that I've learned. What were those early days like back in 2015? How did you get clients in the beginning?
Honestly, that was hard. I know everybody went through this stage. Okay. You got to ask around. You got to ask your friend. You ask your family. You ask your neighbors even. I have a lot of neighbors, right? I work. My clinic was in downtown Toronto. So it's very, very central. So a lot of the neighbors saw me. I have too many patients. I was like, they can hook me up, they hook me up with their own business or their friend's business. So luckily through those, I got a steady stream of client that wants to do online marketing, and then it grew from there.
Okay, so just word of mouth, getting it out on the streets, just talking about it, and you just started picking up a client here, a client there, and before you knew it, you had a legitimate business, huh?
Of course, of course. It's because now, I don't know how much SEO or digital marketing you know, but you can never get right to the first page of Google when you're only just starting. Okay, so the word of mouth is obviously the only, probably the best choice right from the beginning. And I'm not discouraging anybody from listening to this, but definitely need to, get around your neighbor, get familiar with your friends again, and then you can kickstart your business.
Okay, cool. So you start this business, it starts growing. I mean, it's been 6 years now that you've been doing this agency. I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes over the years through Google's algorithms and all the things that have changed in SEO.
Yes, I definitely seen so much change, but down to the bottom line though, it didn't really change. If you were focused on presenting the best content for other people rather than, fitting in all the keywords, we call keyword stuffing, Web 2.0, PBN, those sort of things. I never do those things. Actually, I never get links. I only try to put the best content that I know that can help other people. So even now with the newest Web Vital, that's the newest algorithm that just came out. Google go back to putting the best content for viewers, and that's how they rank. If your content is crap, people will exit right away, and then Google will actually put you down and then never be found again.
Yeah, it's crazy because I've studied a little bit of this myself, probably not in depth as you have, of course, but it's wild because SEOs have major shiny object syndrome because Google makes a change and they say, like you said, you need to have keywords, and now there's keyword stuffing. People are just filling blogs. I even remember seeing this blog post one time where it was literally just 1,000 keywords at the bottom of the page. Like, why would anyone want to do that? But then I realized what they were doing. They were just trying to rank. And then Google says you need to have backlinks. And now the big hubbub is that everyone wants to go out and just find ways to cheat the system and get more backlinks. But I love what you said, that it's really just focusing on creating good value, just creating the best content that you can create for your blog or your services.
Absolutely. I mean, if you were following me maybe back in 2015, 2018, even until now, I constantly put changes, the latest changes to both the UX and the UI design. And obviously I do my due diligence of keyword research. But my content has changed a lot towards how much I can help my clients through my services rather than, doing all the keyword stuffing that most other people are still doing. And obviously that's not most helpful for ranking your business, but if people do go inside my page, they will stay there for a long time rather than just jumping right out and eventually don't want to even hire me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, of course, you've made this business last a long time, so you obviously know what you're doing. So this will be a great episode to listen to because I'm sure you'll give us a lot of good insight. So thinking about someone who's listening right now, it's probably an online course creator, someone who has a course or wants to create a course. And one of the things that I've recommended before personally is to create content. So that might be a podcast, a YouTube channel, or a blog. So in this instance, we'll just stick for blogging for now because that's where a lot of SEO is, even though, you can have YouTube SEO and so forth. But let's say we're creating a blog and we want to create a blog, we want to create content in the end goal that content will help drive traffic to our online course in the future. So what are some of the first steps that someone would want to do whenever they begin creating a blog or creating this kind of content?
Okay, so for me, when I deal with any kind of content and those who are making courses, I have a coaching website as well, which Jeremy will talk about in the end. But if I were to help anybody to start a blog or a website, I would not start with thinking about what kind of content to create. Rather, I want them to think about the positioning, the end goal of what kind of customer they want to help with, and then revolve around that. And then we can start with making the right product content. When I say product, it's mostly, it's more of the type of trainings that you want to provide for your courses. If you can get those things created first, rather than creating a bunch of, or thinking of creating a bunch of content with no purpose, you're going to get more conversions. When I mean conversion, people were more likely to contact you or even just purchase the course right away. So I would say start with positioning.
Okay, so imagine, we'll use an example, say someone plays the piano and they know that they want to create a course in piano, and then maybe we could create some content or a blog. So we want to think about our positioning of where we want to be in that niche or in that industry.
Okay, yeah. So it's a great example, actually, Jeremy, because I started playing piano when I was 3 years old.
Nice.
So I've been through that route. However, because coaching program or courses, online courses, are mostly sold to people who are adult, they're at least 20 plus, at least they have their own money income. So you need to think about them as the end target. Okay, if you want to create a course for piano learner, but to those who are 20 plus, what kind of songs or what kind of genre? You don't want to teach them the basic stuff that the RCM, the Rural Conservatory of Music, that is teaching. No, you don't want to do that because it's boring as you want to start with something that would intrigue them. For example, the Marvel Studio has great set of music. Maybe you can start with a Iron Man music or the Thor Love of Thunder music. And you see, okay, maybe we can create a very easy piece of Love of Thunder for them to try out. That would be where I would go for, rather than going back to the rudimentary, the harmony and et cetera, that you will learn through the classic way. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you're really thinking about the person who you're trying to help. And it sounds like you're trying to create content that would be more engaging than just the standards, which I've made this mistake before myself, you know, just creating the basics. And sometimes, like you said, people just get really bored with that kind of material.
Well, if you've ever done tutoring, you would know that it's boring to teach people, especially when they have no interest of learning at all. You'll be frustrated as a tutor. So think about that and putting online. It's no difference. People watching you to talk about the basic, that's boring. They rather something that would interest them. They want to learn how to play maybe like Hotel California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the more fun stuff. And then you're targeting adults. And if adults are talking about it and they can show up to their beloved other half, or trying to, you know, go on a date with a girl, for example, that would bring them more advantage rather than just showing them playing Bumblebee.
Right. Okay, cool. So we have that end goal in mind. We have that person in our head, and then we have some more entertaining type of content that we want to create. Now, let's say that we want to create a blog, or we want to create some kind of content on a blog. You mentioned keyword research before. So how are you coming up with ideas for the topics? How are you doing what you call keyword research? Can you explain that process a little more for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said in the beginning, I break everything down into SLP. And so when you're doing keyword research, a lot of people in the SEO industry or digital marketing industry would use tools like SEMrush, Ahrefs, Google Suggest, or keyword research plugins on Chrome. Definitely you can do all that. However, those are paid ways, and most people don't want to spend $100 per month just to use those tools because that's hard. Really easy way is go on to Google and type in the phrase, say you want to learn how to play piano, California, Hotel California, and see what's popped up. And when you do the, when you go through the research, you will see people, well, nowadays you see a lot of ads, but you'll see whatever pops up in the first page, you'll see what kind of content is. For example, there will be different type of content such as blog posts, such as product page, or such as services page, or even a local map pages, those sort of things. You see what's more common in the first page that you have entered the keyword phrase, and you keep on going through this, keep on digging deeper and deeper through going through the bottom of the page and say the related keywords. That is the first phase of how I do keyword research. And you just keep on repeating that, and then you know what is the most common type of content and what is the set of keyword phrases that is useful for your new website, new blog.
So I think I got you. If I wanted to, maybe I have a couple ideas about some topics that I could create, how to play Hotel California on the piano. I punch that in, I go and I look at the results from Google, and then I see that, okay, it's a bunch of YouTube videos, and maybe I should go create a YouTube video on that. Or exactly. I write in like how to play a C chord on the piano, and then I see that it's a bunch of blog posts, and I say, okay, let me write a blog post on this information. Is that what you're talking about?
That is absolutely correct. You got it. You could do my job.
I don't know about that. Are you struggling to create your first online course? Do you have an idea for a course topic, but don't know how to get started? It can be hard trying to figure out everything that goes into course creation. How do you outline your course? How do you set up the technology to create the content? How do you publish it so that you can begin helping others and making money immediately? We know it can be difficult for first-time course creators. That is why we have designed the Start Your First Course Challenge. Our goal is to help you get that online course published within a couple of weeks. That means that you can get your digital product to market without wasting a bunch of time. We will show you how with the easiest methods possible that we have learned and crafted over the years. You'll learn how to choose a topic, outline your course, script what you want to say, and then record the material. After that, you'll discover how to set up the platform and publish it, all with a simple system that's guaranteed to get you results fast. Beat your procrastination by taking action today. Go to startyourfirstcourse.com now to sign up. That's startyourfirstcourse.com. See you in the challenge. Okay, cool. So you go out and you create this content, and the term SEO, search engine optimization, stands for optimizing the content so that it can be found in Google. So how do we get our content to rank? You know, I type in how to play Hotel California on the piano. I go put a blog post, 500 word blog post up, and it's not ranking. And you say, I can't just start stuffing keywords. So what do we have to do to get this content to rank so that people can see it?
Okay. Yeah. So let's start with the word counts. Word counts, 500 words for a page nowadays are not enough as a per content. You would start at least 1,000 to 1,500 words. So let's just put it this way. You got the 1,500 word. You got a lot more spaces to use to put the keywords that is related to the main keywords. So this way Google doesn't think that you're stuffing keywords in. But also, you're writing in a way where it makes people understand the whole journey of why you write the articles. Now, obviously, you're not going to rank number one right out of the gate. You'll mostly see the ranking after you do all the social signaling, all the, I'm sorry to say, but linking. linking is not the most important, but still very important. Then afterward, I would strongly suggest, if possible, create a video content, create them on YouTube and embed onto the blog post that you just wrote. Then you can utilize the search engine power of YouTube, which is owned by Google, then that way you will also increase the chance of your page linking. Now, I would strongly suggest if it's not a high converting or is not a product-based page, I don't think you should spend any money on promoting it through paid ads. But if that is something that you want to get people in and then start doing the retargeting ads later on to sell your courses, that's a good way too. That's usually how I would suggest in the first 3 to 6 months. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, is that, you mean running Google ads to your content?
Google ads, it could be Google ad because Google ad is based on search and social ads such as Facebook is more on impressions. So I would definitely use Google ad if you are doing the how-to kind of blog post, or you can do video ad, YouTube ads, which is free if they don't view the first 30 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, very good. So we can run some ads, kind of boost up that content, and then through the links and through social media and other different ways, Google will see that that's an important piece of content, and then it'll start moving up the search engine. Is that correct?
Generally, that's how the rundown is. Because a lot, believe me, the SEO is not the only tactic that is going to help making your website or online presence showing on the search engine anymore. You have to spend some money in a brand new website. If you are a older website, then maybe you don't have to, but most people who come to me are brand new. They don't know what to do. I would say at least spend 3 to 6 months of ads. I'm still doing that for my customer, by the way.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, that's I hadn't thought about running ads to content like that before, but that makes a lot of sense. I want to ask you real quick too. You touched earlier on UX and UI design, so that's, you know, user experience, user interface design. How important is the design of a website? I mean, sometimes I see some blogs and they look amazing, and then other times you see them, they're number one on Google. You click on them and they look like they were made in the 1980s. So what is your thoughts on design, the design aspect of a website?
Okay, if you're asking me, I'm very biased. I prefer a much better looking website than something that has a lot of content and then will rank right away. And I assume most people are like this nowadays because it's 2021. We're stuck at home for pandemic for almost more than a year now since the beginning of 2020, right? And so people want to spend, if you want people to spend more time, it's like having a shop. If your shop decoration is crap, no one's going to step in. Or if they do step in, they probably want to get out of there right away. So looking at your website, if your website is just a bunch of words and people get sick of words, then there's no point for them to stay around. Even if they might have great content, but it's meaningless. So I'd rather to focus on, okay, if it's a coaching website, well, show what's the results and show what they're going to get out of it. Show the examples and break them down. If you go to my website later on, you will see how I don't have a lot of content for every single pages, but I will still put in the important headings, important contents in there to break them down, and people would understand it. People would think like, it is readable. It is great to stay around for a longer period of time.
Okay, cool. So in the instance of like, say, an online course, making sure that we're putting in, you know, reviews and testimonials and the main components that would make up that online course.
That's correct. Yeah. Testimonial is definitely important. Testimonial is super important. However, I don't want people to just think, oh, they can get fake reviews. No, if you don't have any reviews, please don't put them on. It's the same thing as you were doing dropshipping website. They take a lot of reviews, and those are from the wholesaler or even from Amazon, and it's just stuff on it. And or I don't wanna say which kind of course website, but you see a lot of old course website that is built on a software starts with a C. you will see the design looks exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people get the hang of it. A lot of people know that, okay, this is just another guru creating a website. Please don't make it that way. I know that you probably are tempted to listen to and try to do it their way. I don't think this is the best way. You do want to create a brand. At the end of the day, you want to stand out, right? You want to create a brand. So make a proper looking website, make a proper looking landing pages for the course. That looks legit. Don't stuff testimonial. Don't stuff anything that someone else is putting. Because people know it's fake.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. That's some great information and gives us some good SEO practices that we can follow. Let's switch gears a little bit here for a moment, because before we got on the call, we were talking about, you know, people who jump from tactic to tactic and the importance of creating an SOP, which you mentioned earlier, a standard operating procedure. So can you just give us your thoughts on that and why that's important to have?
Yeah. So I am a very logical kind of person. I'm sure you are, because as long as you have a calendar and you're following through, it tells me that you are a very logical person. So it applies on to the same thing when you're working as an agency owner or you're creating courses. If you don't have an SOP to map out your goals, to build a framework, the planning, the growing strategies, the marketing, and even doing down to the sales management and then to reporting at the end of the month, you're not considering yourself, you can't consider yourself as a business. You don't have a logical sense. You just keep on working per hour. That's how I see us running an agency or making a course website. You need to have a plan and you follow through, and that's how you should do it.
Yeah, you know, I created one for this podcast, which is great that we're talking about this, because I realized before I didn't really know the steps and I was just kind of doing random things. But when I sat down and I recorded every step from beginning to end, and I have this Word document that's like 100 pages long, but it has every single step that I took. And when I did that, one, it helped enlighten me into the process and where I could make adjustments. And two, it speeds up the process, because I don't have to think anymore about the next step. I can just go in and look at this document and it tells me, okay, we recorded this episode. Now I need to edit it. Now I need to publish it, add the titles, descriptions, and so forth. And then the other benefit to that for me is now I'm able to hire people on. And because I already have this, you know, it's like a training manual for a new company. If you go work at a fast food restaurant, they're going to give you a manual. This is how you cook the fries. This is how you cook the hamburger. So I feel like now I have that training manual that I can take and give to other people and get them on my team and just increase the workflow and the business, as you said.
Honestly, we're on the same page here, man. Like, that creating a course is just basically taking out your own company process and giving out to people. That's how I create my course. And you're absolutely right. This is how we can save money from hiring virtual assistants, because they're following through the exact step-by-step procedures. That includes the Word documents, that includes the presentation, that includes the YouTube video that tells them, that shows them the screen share, exactly how they can do step-by-step of how to edit, how to produce. And at the end of the day, you're sleeping and you wake up, the work is done. And it's cheaper.
Yeah, and there's no questions asked. So if someone's not following the procedure and you're having a hard time and you might have to let them go, you can just refer back to that. Look, I showed you this was the process and you're not following the process, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, in the beginning, if you're hiring a full-time person, yeah, I mean, you definitely have to stay on top of them. But what I would do nowadays, if I were to hire a full-time person, I would say the first 2 weeks, go watch this entire series because you're hired for this position. And in the third week, you can start, try it out. And you can ask me questions. I'm here for you. And if they still don't get it by the end of the fourth week, I'm sorry. Then that's great. They get hired as my full time, or I'm going to have to find another person.
Yeah, definitely. Now I'm still trying to figure out the best way to do this myself. So this is a inside information for myself, but what's the best way that you found to do an SOP? Are you using Docs? Do you use like a Trello board, ClickUp, or Asana, or what is, or videos? Like, what's the best way that you found to create these systems?
So if you're talking about starting from zero, I would say use Google Docs. That's the easiest way. And then actually try to learn how to use the heading. So they do have heading 1, 2, and 3, just like the same way that you produce a WordPress blog post. Write them out. And if you can label them out, and from every single step, like you said, record a screen share video. That's the first very, very, very beginning. And if you can get this on a roll, I use a lot of project management software, from Trello to Basecamp to now what I use is a Zoho One. Zoho One is all-in-one, so it has CRM, it has project-based management, it has a booking system, it has everything. So that's my newest set of software, but that's for running a business. And if you are using all the other software like Trello Board for one thing and then Asana for another thing, you will have to do a lot of like Zapier to connect them all. So I now just forget it. I use everything on Zoho, and definitely a much easier way because everything is stored in one account.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to have to look into that software. I started migrating stuff to ClickUp, which has like a Trello board type style. It has a CRM type style, but I haven't really cracked the code on the best way to put all that together. So that's some great information. So thinking about the people listening, the online course creators out there, people who are starting or people who are having trouble getting traffic, what are some just tips or advice or your number one tip that you could really give someone out there who's listening right now, who just needs help with marketing, needs help with getting traffic to their course?
Number one tip, set up your Facebook and Google Ads pixel and then create a custom audience based on someone who has visited your top of funnel contents, which are the blog posts that you write. And to those who have visited to the middle of funnel, which is the training pages, exact training sales pages that you have created. And to those who have not been to your bottom of funnel pages, which is the conversion, which is usually the purchase pages or the contact us page. If you have set those things up properly, and because content traffic is gonna grow slowly by organic, you utilizing the ads which are retargeting, you spend maybe maximum $50 per day, you can get a lot more hot lead who are potentially going to buy your product. I strongly suggest people to do this, and I strongly suggest people, if you are selling high ticket courses which are at least $3,000, then go to a contact page rather than selling it to a product page, just on a side note. But yeah, definitely do the retargeting, definitely do the pixel. Don't think about SEO right from the beginning. SEO will pick up if you have followed through my tactic from the beginning.
Okay, that's cool. I wasn't expecting you to say that. So you're saying that SEO is more of a long-term strategy that will come, but in the beginning, really getting the ads going is a great way to kind of jumpstart and boost those leads and get people into your system.
That's correct. Because if I just take just one more minute to say something, Jeremy, I even nowadays, when I deal with clients, I even tell them right on, if you're hiring me for SEO, you're hiring the wrong kind of person. I'm not doing SEO, just SEO for you. I'm trying to grow your brand through any means of online or digital marketing. So I'm going to teach you how you can run this, but I'm going to help you set those up. But if you don't have someone who are going to dedicate your time to develop your own company marketing strategy, then it's going to be hard for anybody to work with you, because you're not going to pay me thousands, if tens of thousands of dollars per month, or anybody. I want you to try and build that marketing team with my help, obviously.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, it's it makes a lot of sense. So it's more about the overall strategy and structure of creating a business instead of just, you know, some quick SEO tips to help someone boost their traffic real quick.
Absolutely. That's always my end goal.
And then you mentioned the high ticket, low ticket. Now, I know, you know, course creators come from all different walks of life. Some have them on their own platform. Some are listening who come from marketplaces, and they hear you say a $3,000 program and they're like, wow, that's insane. So what were you saying about the sales page? So anything under $3,000 should be a sales page, and then anything over $3,000 should be like a booking page. Did I hear you correctly?
Yes and no. So to me, every single page is a sales page. So every page is your chance to sell. So it doesn't matter how you want to call it. Everything is to sell. But if under $3,000, let's say your course is $497 or $997, that's what most marketers would sell. I would say, okay, send them to a product sales purchase page so they can just check out right away. But if it's something like at least $3,000, that's how much my base coaching program is, by the way. I take them directly to a contact page where they have to fill out a form. They have to book a calendar with me to have a talk to see whether or not it's suitable for you. Because it's so expensive, right? A $3,000 at the pandemic is actually very expensive. I mean, but if you're hiring someone, it's $3,000 per month at least to do something like that, right? So regardless of whichever way, it's still a lot of money. So I don't think it's easy to sell with just a sales page and a checkout if you're selling for a $3,000 course. But so that way you definitely want to talk to them, and talking with them one-on-one on Zoom is the best way to sell. And if you're selling $497 or $997 or anything below that, just go through a checkout page, retarget ad, just keep doing that.
Awesome. Perfect. That makes a lot of sense. And yeah, man, the time goes quick, and we appreciate you having you on this show. Just thinking about where your business has been in the past 5 or 6 years and looking forward, I always like to ask people, what would you like to see yourself doing in the next couple years or 5 years or 10 years? Where would you like to go? How would you like to grow this business?
So for me, I like to maintain my consulting kind of business, obviously, but definitely moving on towards this coaching program where I will have people go through my program first and ask me questions on the way after they go through it. And that's my 5-year goal, is to have as many people as possible who are starting their own business or are in a business already and they're working as an in-house marketer to keep on joining me and other marketers to learn the newest tactic and so on and so forth. Obviously, it brings me the residual income, but also it allows me to learn something new as I grow older. I don't know how old you are, but I'm 35 right now. So in 10 years, I'll be 45. My goal then will be definitely focus on family.
Awesome. That's great, Simon. And I just hope you get that success and get to where you're going. It's exciting times we live in. And it's just really great that we are in a very fast changing world. And sometimes it can be hard, but sometimes it can have its benefits. You know, it keeps us really working our brains and seeing new things and new avenues. And, you know, Google and Facebook's changing constantly. And so there's always work to be done because of those changes. So if people want to find out more about you, your coaching, your consulting business, and all the things that you're doing out there, where can they find that?
Oh yeah, great, thanks. So you can find me very easily through typing my full name, Simon, W-Y-H-U-A-N-G, on Google or any places. That is where you will find me on agency or consulting. However, I definitely want to take this chance to promote my coaching program, which is Study W Simon, which stands for Study with Simon. You know, I just want people to have chances to go visit studywsimon.com and see if this fits you.
Well, Simon, thanks so much. You're a very intelligent person, and I don't see why anyone wouldn't want to go check that link out and sign up. And we'll make sure we put all those links in the show notes so you'll be able to find them easily there. Other than that, thanks for coming on the show today. We appreciate you being here and just giving us your time and your expertise.
Thank you, Jeremy. You have a great day.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Simon. You can find out more about him and his business by visiting simonwywong.com, or you can get the show notes of this episode along with links and resources by visiting onlinecourseigniter.com/34. Stay tuned next week for an all new episode. Thank you for tuning in to the Online Course Igniter podcast. Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening so that you don't miss an episode. If you would like to learn more marketing strategies and how to sell your online course, then also check out our free community where we share tips, tricks, and tutorials at onlinecourseigniter.com/community.